Thank you, Steve. Thank you, worship team. I'd like to embarrass a couple people before I start, if that's okay with you. First off, it's Greg's birthday today, so just want to, give Greg a hand. He's 52 years young today, so make sure when you see him in the foyer or afterwards or whatever, just wish him a happy birthday. Also, I see Graham, and it's good seeing that pretty face around here again. Don't know if you're back for a visit or if you're back for the summer or whatever, but good to see you back here, Graham. Just want to remind, give him a hand, sure. I just want to remind you that we have our hospitality challenge in the month of May, and so we're a church that really wants to help people get connected, and we just want people to feel like they can connect and fellowship with our people, and so if you could do something to open up your home or do something to reach out to someone in the church, we would greatly appreciate that and challenge you to take on that challenge to help people better connect. And lastly, Dave mentioned this too, we had our Pro D-Day camp a few weeks back, and one of the greatest needs we have for our next VBS camp and the camps to come are more volunteers. So again, if you could connect with Melissa Bargan in the foyer afterwards, if you're able to volunteer, especially for our next VBS one-day Pro D-Day camp on June 1st, that would be splendid. Let me pray before we jump into our message this morning. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for a great time of worship that we've been able to share together. Lord, thank you for some of the new faces we're seeing around here today. And Lord, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts this morning, according to 1 Corinthians 12. And we thank you for that passage. And we pray, Lord, that first of all, may we give you the credit for all the gifts you've given each person, Lord. And may you stir in our hearts the desire to use your gifts you have given us for the benefit of the body of Christ. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we've been carrying on in our series, Ask Paul Anything. And typically, before we jump into the message, we ask a possible question that those in Corinth would have asked Paul in order for him to write what he wrote. So I think the question for today, based on this passage, would have went something like this. Paul, can you comment on the special abilities and gifts that the Spirit gives us? Can you comment on the special abilities and gifts that the Spirit gives us? Now, he talks about a number of things in this passage, but it's pretty straightforward. So we're going to start from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and following, and we're just going to read a few verses and make a few comments, and it's going to be a little back and forth for today. So we're going to start again, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Here we go. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so this is kind of Paul's preamble before he gets into gifts. But we need to ask ourselves, when Paul is talking about Jesus, cursing Jesus, but also acknowledging Jesus as Lord, what's he talking about? Well, there's two different concepts or ideas that we could talk about here. And the first is this. One thing that Paul may have had in mind here was that sometimes demons, if you read in the Gospels, sometimes demons try to discredit Jesus' ministry. And as a result, if you were one who could declare Jesus as Lord, that was one way to test if someone's faith was genuine. On the other hand, another thing that Paul would have possibly had in mind here was that the Jews would have seen Jesus as one who was cursed by God because he died on a cross. If a Jew's faith was truly genuine, they would have disowned this argument and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And so why is this phrase, Jesus is Lord, so important? Well, this was a very common phrase that was used in the early church by Christians. And for the Jews, this would have been significant because this phrase was basically acknowledging Jesus as Yahweh. When we say Jesus is Lord, to the Jew, that they would be saying Jesus is Yahweh or God. That's a big deal. And for the Gentiles, this would have been very significant because they would have been saying that Jesus is above every power, every authority, or emperor because they participated in some form of emperor worship. But they are saying Jesus is the only one worthy of worship, and he's above every other power or authority there is under the sun. And that would have been significant for them as well. He's the only one worthy of worship. And then we jump more specifically into the gifts in verse 4 and following. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Those are pretty straightforward words, but there's some things we don't quite get. At least the church hasn't understood over the years about these particular verses. I'm going to need your help with this. I have some gloves. And by the way, I found these gloves in the lost and found. So if these look like yours, you can have them back at the end of the service. I was walking to church today, and I remembered I needed gloves for one of the illustrations, and I forgot them at home, and luckily I found them in the lost and found, so it's all good. Gloves can do a number of things. You can conduct an orchestra with gloves. You can doctors use a certain type of glove to do some surgery if you need it. If you're into baseball like Graham is, you would use a glove for baseball. What other uses are there for gloves? Just shout them out. Gardening, very good. What else do we got for gloves? Warmth, yeah. What one more use? Any kind of work or crime. Very good, Barry. Very good. Watch out for that guy. Very good. Now, gloves can do all sorts of amazing things, right? But if you take your hand out of the glove, what happens to them? They sit there and they do nothing. Right? You and I are kind of like gloves, and our hands are kind of like the Spirit. It's kind of like God. Basically, we need to understand that we're a bunch of useless nobodies without the Spirit of God working in us. Amen. That's a very important point. I'm going to come back to that a couple times in this message, one of them being now. So remember, we're nothing without God. And so first is this. When we talk about our theology or understanding of gifts, we need to remember that our theology and understanding of gifts are dependent on our theology of the Spirit. It seems like a simple concept that we often will forget. And I think there's some incorrect teaching on gifts in the church, because instead of focusing on the Spirit, the hands, the source of our gifts, we talk about the gloves, and sometimes the gloves get in arguments with each other. No, you can't pull weeds. No, you can't perform surgery. La, 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 la. And they argue with each other, but really we forget that it's the Spirit that is the one giving the gloves the ability to do those special things. Hope that makes sense. And so one of the most important points in this passage is that the Spirit is the source of all our gifts. We are not the source of our own gifts. Let's continue. The next verse is probably one of the shortest verses in this passage, but it tells us a lot of things, and it's verse 7, which says this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Sounds like a very basic verse, but there's a lot to it. And three brief points I want to share from that one verse. First of all, it tells us that every Christian has a gift. Every Christian has a gift, no matter what, that can help the body of Christ. No one here has been bypassed. You all have something to contribute. And on the other hand, I think it's safe to say that no one person has all the gifts. And as a result, we're dependent on each other for effective ministry. The second thing we learn about this verse is that the gifts we have are not for our own personal benefit, but it's for others. And lastly, we need to remember that the gifts you have were given to you by God. Again, we're kind of coming back to that again. The gifts you have were given to you, they were given to you by God. Give God the credit for the gifts that he has given you. Now, verse 8 and following. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so with this small passage, I just want to again share a few points from the verses we just read. First off, I don't think that the list that Paul gives here of various gifts are exhaustive. I think there are certainly many more gifts that God gives the church than what we just read there. Secondly, again, we're reminded that the distribution of the gifts are done by the Spirit. The Spirit is central when we talk about the gifts. The gifts that we have are given to us by God. And that's gonna be a point that sounds repetitive, but Paul just keeps on saying that over and over again in this passage. Thirdly, there appeared to be no rank in the importance of the gifts. And although we have different gifts, they're all important and we're all equal before God. And then Paul points to this interesting illustration. He points to the human body to help illustrate this point. And sometimes it's hard to tell sometimes if Paul is being serious or humorous. It sounds a little bit humorous in the verses we're going to read, in the next chunk of verses we're going to read. And we'll eventually get there. But he starts in verse 12, and he points to the human body. He says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." A couple comments. So again, first, every believer has a gift. Their gift is necessary and important, and these gifts are given to benefit the church. We've already talked about that, but Paul is repeating himself here in different words. Secondly, here's an important point. Secondly, all Christians who have confessed Jesus as Lord have the Spirit of God living in them. That's an important point that over the years has been somewhat controversial. And I don't want to get too deep into this, but I want to make a few comments here. So we're all equal before God. I believe there are no second-tier Christians. There's no second-tier Christians. Some may have felt in their day, as some maybe in our day, feel that if they have a particular gift, they've gone further in their walk with God. So this glove might say to the other glove, or think at least, "I have this special gift," and I don't want to name this special gift. It's been very controversial over the years. "I have this special gift that God gave me, and because you don't have it, I'm a better Christian than you. And you are a second-tier Christian. You don't have what I have." And that's wrong. That's prideful, and that's something that causes division. And in fact, they might even say, not only are you a second-tier Christian, you might not even have the Holy Spirit, because I have this special gift that I think is so much more valuable than yours, and this is the evidence that I have the Holy Spirit working in my heart, and you don't. That's horrible. I think it's horrible. I'm not going to say specifically what I have in mind, but it's not what the Bible teaches. Again, all people who confess Jesus as Lord receive the Spirit and his blessings. We're all equal before God, regardless of what gift we possess. Verse 14 and following. "Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not part of the body because I'm not the hand,' that does not make any of it less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" I'm going to get Riley to help me. And Riley, I'm going to actually bring up a hymnal for this illustration. I like to surprise Riley whenever I have him come up. Sometimes I don't like to tell him what I'm doing, and this is an example of one of those weeks. yeah, I'll hold on to that for now.
All right.
Riley, I'm going to get you to do some very basic, normal human functions,
okay.
But there's a twist. You're not going to be able to use certain body parts for these normal, basic functions. So the first thing I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get you to stand, but without the use of your legs. So you're going to do his hand. Yep, very good. Give him a hand, guys. Give him a hand. Let's try that again. Let's see how long you could do that without. I'm going to time it. I'm going to count out loud, okay? Ready, set. 1,000, 2,000. Woo! All right, that was good. Give him a hand again. Yeah, that was awesome. Okay, Riley, I'm going to get you to turn to number 300 in the hymnal without using your hands or feet. Good luck. Let's see how long it takes him to do that. He's doing pretty good. Where is he at? Where is he at? He's at 297, 298, 301. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. That was actually very, very impressive. Okay, last thing you're going to do is you are going to close your eyes, and you're going to balance this on your head because you can't use your arms or hands at all. And you are going to try to get this back into the pew slot without it falling off your head. Okay, good luck, Riley. Your eyes got to be closed the whole time. He's doing good. All right, you can stuff in the back of your pants. I'll give you that. And then you got to close your eyes and make it back to the pew where you were sitting.
Back to the pew like this?
Whatever. Just you can get back to your pew. Just make it back to your seat with your eyes closed. Let's try that. Is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? You've gone too far. All right, give him a hand, guys. Now, you can imagine what the point of that was. It was just a very silly illustration to point out the fact that that every part of our bodies matter. They count. Sometimes we take for granted our legs or our eyes or our hands. And it's important. They all have an important job to do. And we all have and in a similar way, every Christian in the church has an important job to do. Kind of a real life illustration. My brother is a professional piano player, and I think it was 2 weeks ago he called me and he said that his toddler had slammed the door on his pinky finger. And at first I laughed because I forgot that he was a professional piano player. And then I was like, oh shoot, you're a piano player. You do this for a living. And it just so happened that I think this happened on a Tuesday. And it was on a Thursday. He was supposed to play on 100 Huntley Street with some semi-famous musician or something. And so just because of the very tip of his finger was busted or possibly broken, I'm sure he went through with it, but he was worried that his finger was going to be broken, that this was going to mess up his career. So again, the very tip of this guy's left-hand finger could have messed with my brother's career. And so that's just a real-life illustration of how a very small body part could make a huge impact in someone's life. And in a similar way, you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, I'm just a pinky finger. I'm just a nobody. But you need to know that you are somebody in Christ, and we're all the same. We're all equal, and we all have something to contribute. Verse 22, and by the way, if you don't understand a whole lot about piano, Aaron, my brother, he says the pinky is one of the main fingers he uses for his bass notes and stuff. And if you're a pianist, you'd probably understand that. Verse 22 and following says this. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary, with the example I just shared with my brother. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And so on one hand, we get the sense that, some people might feel depressed, thinking, oh man, I don't have much to offer, I'm a nobody, and they make excuses for not serving. And maybe you think about your past, oh, my past is not the cleanest, it's not the best, I don't really have anything to give. And so if you think you're unqualified to contribute to the body of Christ, consider this. Moses, he stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was undependable. Hosea married a prostitute. Amos only had experience as a fig tree pruner. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon had too much money. Abraham was too old. Timothy had ulcers. Joseph was a nuisance. Paul was ugly. Peter was a coward. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Jesus was homeless. Naomi was a widow. Jonah was disobedient. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas were doubters. Jeremiah was suicidal. Elijah suffered from depression. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses, not to mention David. John the Baptist dressed funny. Martha was a worrywart. Samson needed a haircut. Noah had a drinking problem. Moses had a short fuse. Zacchaeus was very short, unlike me, of course. David was only a teenager. So was Mary, the mother of Jesus. So was Daniel. So were many others who were used by God. And so if you're thinking today that maybe you're unqualified to contribute to the body of Christ, remember that you shouldn't let your circumstance tell you that you have nothing to offer, because it isn't true. We all have something to give. We all have something to contribute. On the other hand, sometimes you can kind of, as you read this passage and you read between the lines, you can sense that maybe there were some that had an issue with spiritual pride over the gifts that they had. And I want to say, on the other hand, don't get too full of yourself if you have a gift that's maybe more in the limelight than others would be. Don't get too full of yourself and think you don't need anyone else. And so it's important when we read this passage that, one, we don't think we're indispensable and that we're better than other people, or two, that we're not needed, because either of those extremes are not true. And we need to remember our dependence on the Spirit and our need for each other for effective ministry. Let me carry on in verse 27 and following. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. And then he says here, and he seems to have a little bit of a rank here, but not really. He says, first are apostles. And I think Paul had himself and the 12 apostles who walked with Jesus in mind when he's talking about the apostles. So he says, first are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. And then he asked some questions, and the obvious answer to each question is no. But let me just go ahead and continue reading verse 29. Are we all apostles? The obvious answer is no. Are we all prophets? Obvious answer, no. Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? And he says, of course not. Of course not. This kind of reminds me of a baseball team who came forth to play a game of baseball. And just as the umpire was saying batter up, the catcher for the home team arrived and took his place behind the plate. The center fielder didn't show up at all, but sent his regrets. The third baseman likewise failed to come to the game because he had been up late the night before. The shortstop was present, but left his glove at home. Two of the substitute fielders were away on a weekend trip, but they said they were there in spirit. The pitcher went to the mound and looked around for his teammates, but his heart was heavy, for their positions were empty. The game was announced, the visitors were in the stands, and there was nothing to do but pitch the ball and hope for the best. But in addition to pitching, he had to cover first and third base, as well as short and center field. And when the absent players heard that their team had lost, they were very upset. So what'd they do? They held a meeting and decided to get a new pitcher. And so we need to make sure that we're not depending on the faithful few to carry the team. We're all needed. We all have something to contribute. And again, every believer is gifted differently, and we need to use our gifts for the sake of the church. And let's make sure we're in the game, that we're all in the game somehow in some way. By the way, as a side note, as we come back to this text here, some traditions hold to this idea that you have not been filled by the Holy Spirit unless you can speak in tongues. And however, Paul here says very plainly that speaking in tongues is a gift that we all don't have. He says it again. Do we all have the gift of, or do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? And the obvious answer is no. And so Paul here is very plainly telling us that not all believers have the gift of tongues. I don't want to go to the other extreme and say this, that tongues don't exist in our day, because I know many faithful, legitimate, awesome Christians who can speak in tongues. Let's carry on. Verse 31 says this: "So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts." One way of interpreting this verse is to simply use is simply for us to use and exercise the gifts that God has given us. And I want to close this message with a story of two camels who are with each other and they're walking alongside of each other. And in fact, it happened to be a mother camel and with her son, with her young son. The son asked the mother a question: "Mom, why do we have these big toes?" And the mom says, well, son, your toes help you to stay on top of the soft sand when we trek across the desert." Okay. A few minutes later, the baby camel asked, "Mom, why do I have these long eyelashes?" His mother replied, "Well, son, your eyelashes keep the sand out of your eyes on our trips through the desert." A few minutes later, the baby camel asked, "Mom, why do I have these big humps on my back? What's the deal with that?" Well, his mother, who was getting a little impatient with her son, replied, "Well, son, your humps store water for our long treks across the desert, so you can go without drinking for long periods of time." "Well, that's great, Mom," said the baby camel. We have huge feet to stop us from sinking, long eyelashes to keep the sand out of our eyes, and humps to store water. But Mom..." "Yes, son?" "Why are we in the zoo?" And so if all of us Christians here today were a bunch of camels, what kind of a camel would you be? Would you be out in the desert actively using the gifts that God had given you? Or are you sitting in the zoo, talking the talk, and doing nothing? You know, this concept is so important at our church that it's one of our core values to see people getting involved and finding a place to serve. And I believe part of you growing in your walk with God, maturing in your walk with God, is finding a place to serve. And we get pumped, we get psyched when people step forward and say, "Hey, I want to get involved. I want to contribute and serve in some way." And so I want to ask you, you know, imagine what would happen if every person, every member in our church was wholeheartedly serving in a place of their gifting. I mean, I think this would be an irresistible, exciting place to be. And so as a result, I want to challenge you to find a place of service. There's many people you can talk to. You can talk to ministry leaders, staff, myself, nominations committee, all sorts of people you can chat with to find a place to serve. And then Paul closes by saying this: "But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all." And that leads us into the next chapter, which we'll get to in the future, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, includes some of the most quoted verses in the Bible. Very, very beautiful chapter, wonderful chapter. I always really enjoy it every time I read it. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that we would be a people who put this passage into practice. That we would be sensitive to where you're calling us to serve and contribute towards your kingdom. And we just pray as we continue on our service, Lord, that we'll be blessed by the testimonies of Don and Brenda. And we just pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.